Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6. Tonight we'll be continuing on through the chapter, but this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 1 through 6. The title of the message this morning is The Importance of Seeing Clearly. The Importance of Seeing Clearly. And I'm going to read verse 1 and then we'll pray and begin. Verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Please bless us. Help us to learn from your word and anoint me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive me for my sins and please do a great work in this place this morning. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. The importance of seeing clearly. Now, by way of introduction, verse 1 says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Now, last week's message from chapter 3 was all about the ministry. And the ministry not only involves people who are full-time in the ministry, but it should involve every single Christian. Everyone in the church should have a ministry and should be in the ministry. And there's a lot of ministry that went on last night and a lot of ministry that went on before that. And so Paul says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." So it was the mercy of God that put Paul in the ministry. Well, of course, before Paul was in the ministry, he was a bad guy. I mean, he hunted down Christians and had them put in jail, had them killed. He was a religious man, but he was lost. And then God, in his mercy, saved him and put him in the ministry. And so that's a wonderful thing. And it's God's mercy that any of us are in the ministry. And he says, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not. Now, to faint, Thayer said it means to be utterly spiritless, to be wearied out or worn out, to be exhausted. And I don't mind telling you that I'm worn out after yesterday. I went to work yesterday at 8 o'clock in the morning and worked all day and then came. And I had worked till late in the night before, and then Then we had the Christmas thing, and then I went home and got to work, put the kids to bed, and got to work on some things for this morning. And so I'm exhausted right now. But being worn out, and I know many of you are too, but being worn out is not the same thing as fainting. In fact, Robertson says it is the faint-hearted coward. And so fainting not only is exhaustion, but it has to do really with giving up. It has a bad side to it as well. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." So Paul is saying, as we have received mercy, we don't give up. We don't retreat. We don't turn into cowards and quit. He said we keep going. And Paul faced a lot of opposition. He faced people that continually attacked him. There was people that wanted him killed, that were hunting him down, and there was people that were attacking him and trying to destroy his ministry. And that's the first thing we look at. We're going to look at blindness this morning and contrast blindness to seeing. And so one of the first things that we'll look at, really the first thing, is blind leaders. Blind leaders. Matthew 15:14, Jesus said, "Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind." And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And that's one of the odd things about false teachers. Paul was constantly under attack from false teachers. And one of the things about false teachers is that false teachers lead other people into blindness and away from Christ, but they themselves are blind. And of course, the Bible says, if the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall into a ditch. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Word of God says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. The hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So Paul says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now, the false teachers practice the hidden things of dishonesty. Everything Paul says here that we have renounced, the blind leaders, the false teachers, were doing. Paul says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, yet that's exactly what the blind leaders did. They practice the hidden things of dishonesty. Paul says we're not walking in craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but the false teachers were handling the Word of God in a deceitful manner, taking verses out of context, distorting the Bible in order to prove their points and to lead away sheep from the flock. And so, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, Paul says, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we Christ. And so Paul said, we're not peddling the Bible, we're not corrupting the Word of God. We have renounced, again in chapter 4 and verse 2, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And this is the key to not being dishonest, is that you always remember that everything you're doing is in the sight of God. You're doing your ministry in the sight of God. And so I think that that's what happens in churches and ministries where, because, you know, the people, even the people that we kind of make fun of that are on TV, that are always trying to get people to send them $1,000 love offering so they can, you have a need, sow a seed. So you send them $1,000 and then they sends you back a prayer cloth or something and your needs will be met. Well, even those false teachers, I don't think all of them started out as false teachers. But you have somebody that may have started out preaching the gospel, and then they saw that they could, they got a little fame and they got some money, and they thought, well, this is me, this is my talent doing this. And so they began to handle the Word of God deceitfully and teach things that the Bible simply does not teach, because they saw that they could make money off of doing that and they could get disciples away to themselves. And so Paul says that's not what we do. So we're not like blind leaders. We try and be honest, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So we've seen blind leaders, and now we will look at blinded minds. Blinded minds. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, notice that Paul had said in verse 2 of chapter 4, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. So Paul says, we have renounced the hidden things. We don't live dishonest lives. We're not dishonest with our teaching. We're not dishonest with the way we live. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. But then in verse 3, he says, but if our gospel be hid, we don't try to hide anything, but if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Who is the gospel? Is very plain. Christ died for your sins on the cross. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. You can be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. It's the good news. But if our gospel be hid, who's hiding it? Not us. We're not hiding it. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. To those that don't need Christ, it's hidden. But who is hiding it? Verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So who is hiding the gospel and the light of the gospel from unbelievers? It is none other than the God of this world, Satan. He is hiding the gospel, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, I'm going to get to that in just a second, but first of all, this phrase, the God of this world. Some people think that Satan is in control of the earth. They think that's what that means, but that's not actually what that's saying. The world in the Bible is speaking of the world system that James speaks of, or is it John? It's one of the two. But the lust of the flesh, the world system, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the world system, because the Bible says all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's not of the Father, but it is of the world. And so when the Bible says that the devil is the god of this world, it means that he is the god of the world system. He is the god of this age that is defined as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And incidentally, the reason he's the god of that is because the people that are caught up in that system follow the devil as their god. A lot of them don't know it. But when you're caught up in that system, and that's all you think about is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, then you're actually paying worship to the god of this world, to the devil. Just as the ancient Egyptians worshipped the Nile River, and they worshipped different things. The Nile River wasn't a god, but it became a god because they were giving worship to it. And so the devil becomes the god of this world because people in the world give worship to him and give honor to him. And they do that by being caught up in the world system. And so that's what that means, that the devil is the god of this world. I remember in some missionaries down in Peru when I was younger. I wasn't actually on this trip, but they were at the airport and they had a bunch of tracks. And one of the tracks they had had a picture of Satan on the front of it. We don't really know what he looks like, but they had the devil with the horns and everything. And the track was called, in Spanish, the God of this world, or Satan is the God of this world. So they were handing out these tracks. Well, the authorities came up to them and wanted to know why a bunch of Satan worshipers were passing out literature in the airport, because they thought that they didn't understand what the tract was about. But when the Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds, that's what it means. The devil is the God of the world system. He's in charge of the world system, not the earth. But he's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, it's interesting, the Bible says that he has blinded the minds of them that believe not. That's whose minds he's blinded. And that means that we play a part in that. It's not like people are innocent victims that the devil blinds their minds. It says he has blinded the minds of them who believe not. And so, we're not innocent victims, but those, I'll read you what Robertson says, they refuse to believe, and so Satan got the power to blind their thoughts. That happens with willful disbelievers. Because the word believe here, it's interesting, in the Bible, many times when you see the word believe, it just means to believe. Sometimes we'll say to trust or to depend on, but we use the word believe that way too. For instance, if I were to say, if a little kid says, I believe in Santa Claus, they mean I believe he exists. Or if they say, I believe in the tooth fairy, they'll say, I believe the tooth fairy exists. That's what they mean. But when Gracie says, I believe in Santa Claus, she doesn't just mean that she believes he exists. She means that she is trusting him to bring her gifts. And she's letting me know that she believes in Santa Claus. So gifts had better show up on Christmas morning. And so we also, when we use the word believe, if you have a child and your child played Little League, or your child was on a school team or in the band or whatever they did, and your child was about to go into the game, and you said, son, I believe in you, they know that you don't mean I believe you exist. They know that you mean I have faith in you. I have confidence in you. And that's the same thing when the Bible talks about us believing in Christ. It means that we have faith in Him. We have confidence in Him. We trust Him to do what He said He would do, which is to save us. And so that's believing in Christ. But the word that is translated here as believe not, the idea of believing not is not just to passively not believe, but it is to intentionally disbelieve. And that's what A.T. Robertson is saying here. They refused to believe, and so Satan got the power to blind their thoughts. That happens with willful disbelievers. By the way, it takes great effort to not believe the gospel. The Holy Spirit convicts someone. He's convicting them. He's saying, this is true. What's being preached is true. And for a person to sit there and say, I'm not going to believe that, that takes great effort. Takes great effort. And so it's disbelief, not just simply passive unbelief. It's an intentional unbelief. And so we have seen here blind leaders and blinded minds. And blind leaders work with Satan, and Satan blinds the minds of unbelievers, and blind leaders distort the Scripture and preach lies. And so Paul is saying, we don't want to do any of that. We want to preach the truth. And we want to preach, that's our third thing, the blinding light of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. So Paul says, we don't preach ourselves. We're not coming up here telling you how wonderful we are. But we preach Christ Jesus, the Lord. We're preaching Christ. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. So he says, we do include ourselves, but we're just servants. We're here to serve. We're here to preach Christ. We're here to deliver the message of Jesus Christ. It's kind of like when you eat in a restaurant. If the server, your main interest is not for the server to tell you their life story. It's for them to bring you food. That's what you're there for. We took the kids to Waffle House last night, and we got great service because my wife left a great tip. But we got great service. And the server came and wanted to know if I wanted extra coffee and if we wanted this and we wanted that. And so what's going on in that situation? The server, you appreciate the server because the server is bringing you what you came for. Food. And so it's the same thing. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ. People didn't come for Paul, they came for Christ. So he says, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So Paul says, we're here to serve. We're here to bring you what you want, what you need, and that is the Word of God. We're here to bring you Jesus Christ. And verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, God who has commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. When God created the earth, everything was dark. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And so, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. By the way, God gave light before He created the sun. Right? And so, that same light, Jesus Christ, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what we preach when we preach the gospel is a blinding light. It is a light, is the light of Jesus Christ. It is a light that can go into a darkened heart. A person who doesn't believe, a person who rejects Christ and can go into that darkened heart and can shine light in the dark. And so that is the light of Jesus Christ. Remember Paul on the road to Damascus, he was going to persecute Christians and to have them jailed. And while he was on his way, he was struck by this blinding light, struck down, and we know it was a blinding light because Paul went blind for a period of time afterwards. And so that was Jesus Christ and Paul got saved. And so this is the gospel we preach. So the importance of seeing clearly is this. Number one, there are blind leaders of the blind who distort the Bible to their own ends. And so we need to preach Christ clearly. That's our duty, is to preach Christ clearly. Don't distort it. I remember being overseas many years ago, and we went to a Bible study with some. It was a Catholic Bible study, and we went, and the guy that was going to it that we went with was trying to evangelize in this study because people were open to learning from the Bible, and so we went to the Bible study, and. He just talked around the bush the whole time. He never shared his testimony. He was trying to approach it from all these weird angles to get to the people using psychology. And one guy in the Bible study, it was just a small group of people, one guy said, how can I know I'm going to heaven? And we felt like we didn't have the liberty to say anything because this guy was our host. And I was a lot younger then and I didn't say anything. But the guy never told him. Nobody told him. He was trying to use psychology to cut into their belief in purgatory and to get them to question it. But there's a guy sitting there that says, hey man, how can I go to heaven when I die? And nobody answered his question. And so let's preach the Bible and the gospel clearly. Let's tell people what they need to hear. Number two, Satan is blinding the minds of unbelievers. Pray that God will convict them and preach the true gospel of Christ. Let's pray for unbelievers. Before we witness to people, pray for them. Pray that God will convict them. You know, if God doesn't shine the light in, they'll never see it. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. So let's pray that God will convict them and let's preach the true gospel of Christ. And then number three, see that everyone you know hears about the blinding light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This Christmas, we'll be doing a lot of things. We'll be unwrapping presents. We'll be giving gifts. We'll be decorating Christmas trees and hanging stockings and doing all those things. But in the midst of everything we do this Christmas, let's remember Jesus Christ and let's remember to share the message of Jesus Christ with people who are blind and lost in their sins. The importance of seeing clearly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for this scripture. I thank you that Paul preached a plain message and he didn't try and distort or be crafty with the Word of God, that He just preached it plainly. And I do pray that we would do the same thing, and I pray we would share this message with Jesus Christ to sinners who are blind and lost in their sins. We ask it in Jesus' name.